The Home Show with Tom Tynan podcast is made possible thanks to our partners like Abacus Plumbing. Finally, professionals you can count on.
I'm a hard-working man, working man, working man, working man.
Good morning, Houston. It's time for the sport of home improvement.
I can ride rope, a hammer and paint, do things with my hands that most men can't. I'm a hard-working man.
Welcome to Home Show Radio. Save money, save time with Houston's home improvement leader for 34 years. Here's Tom Tynan.
And we begin and going to end here in about 40 minutes. No, actually about 45 minutes, 48 minutes. Our third and final hour of this Saturday edition of Home Show Radio. Of course, tomorrow we'll be on from 7 until 9. Starting with early edition at 7 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 610 because the Cleveland Browns are hosting. There you go. The Cleveland Browns are hosting the Texans at noon, and that means football talk and all those football guys, they got to get up early. And that's usually on the weekends. They appreciate me here on the weekends, I think, because that way they can sleep in. But at 12 o'clock, usually that's when they take off, or not always. It depends what programming they have scheduled. But for the Texans, a time of year, on Sundays, yep, they're up early, and they're taking care of it. But for the rest of the year, it's 8 to 11 on Sundays. Tomorrow, 7 to 9. All right, let's talk to Daryl. Daryl, you're on Home Show Radio.
Hey, Tom, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a three-car garage that I like to do woodworking out of, and I know I've heard you say before, don't insulate an unconditioned space.
Right.
But I wanted to make it a little nicer to work out of in the summertime in particular. So I'm going to have it drywalled. I'm not going to insulate the drywall, just the vertical walls.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to leave the attic, the ceiling open. And one question I was wondering is if it made sense to spray like a radiant barrier on that ceiling, on the underneath the decking on the ceiling to maybe reduce the heat load. I am going to have a little window put in with a small window unit to just cool it a little while I'm in there, but I'm not going to keep it cool all the time.
Well, if you leave that attic open, don't put a ceiling in there, that little air conditioner is not going to do a thing for you.
Okay.
But the answer to your radiant barrier is absolutely yes.
Okay.
If you're going to use sheetrock in that unconditioned space, make sure you use an exterior sheetrock. Don't use a regular sheetrock. That stuff will just deteriorate and fall off the wall in a few years, and you'll have a mess on your hands.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I didn't know that, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And a lot of us will even have to do attached garages, have to have the X sheetrock, the X-rated, I like that. Anyway, it's a fireproof sheetrock, and what happens is it basically, over time, starts to get damp from the humidity and starts to pull off, but it's a fire-rated sheetrock, so you have to have it by code, and so you have to deal with that once in a while, too. It takes a little bit longer than a couple of years, but sheetrock in a garage that's not acclimated is really not a good thing to do. I would suggest if you can do other things. I know in my garage on the walls, I put pegboard so it'll breathe. Plus, I can put hooks in there, and I can see where all the studs are if I want to hang something. And it paints up. It looks nice, and it stays nice and dry. It's been in there for 25 years now. It looks great. And then, of course, I always do the ceilings, too, because if you're going to air condition, you got to close off that attic space. That's just so much cubic feet of air that you don't need to try to cool. So if you are going to cool your garage, you don't insulate it, but you certainly do put a ceiling in it for sure. The walls not so much, but the ceiling for sure. Don't try to air condition that attic area above your garage. All right, Abacus Plumbing, you can count on them to get the job done. When the job is clogged drain lines, when the job is no hot water, garbage disposals that aren't working, stuff backing up in your sinks and your tubs, I don't know, pretty gross. Happens to me too once in a while. That's why I always keep 713 Plumbing handy. I know exactly who to call and when I need to call them. It's when the plumbing's not working and I'm not messing with it. You want to put in new sinks, new faucets? Hey, you call a plumber. They'll do that. Now, if you're going to remodel a bathroom or something, you call somebody else. But when you're going to do just the fixtures, Abacus Plumbing. You want to buy a new kitchen faucet and just have it installed? Go down to any of the plumbing supplies around town. Buy a really nice one, then give them a call, and they'll set you up on their schedule and come by and install it for you. It's not easy crawling under a kitchen sink. It can be quite difficult, but they have the tricks of the trade. Plumbing is an odd thing, and it's something you need to do regularly. It's more of muscle memory and knowing all the little parts and pieces and tricks. I know I just replaced a pump motor on my pool, And I had to go back to the hardware store three times, exactly three times, to make sure I had every part and fitting and everything, even if it was just one little coupling that I was missing. Well, I did it, but it sure would have been easier if I had a big truck full of all that stuff, and that's what they do. They have all the parts and pieces they need. Plumbing has a lot of parts and pieces. Abacus Plumbing, you can count on them. It's easy. It's easy phone call, 713-PLUMBING. And they'll be out there to take care of you. That's 713-PLUMBING for Abacus Plumbing. You can count on them.
Take the guesswork out of your next project. Get advice from Tom. Then get help you can trust. Get an expert who meets Tom's standards. A certified home show pro.
Cutting-edge tile removal. Certified dust-free tile removal with no messy cleanup.
For cracked, broken windows, mirrors, or glass showers, call Glass Doctor. They fix your pain.
Texas Floors, the come-to-you floor store. Service and savings you can stand upon.
Find Tom's directory of trusted home show pros anytime for any project at homeshowradio.com. Now, more Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
That's 281-496-5711. We have open lines, and we want to hear from you. Let's get back to the calls. Let's talk to Kevin. Kevin, you're on Home Show Radio.
Hey, I got a question for you regarding paint. I built a couple of bookshelves and a window bench seating that I'm going to be installing, and I used a paint and primer latex, and it looks like an orange peel rolled all over it, so... I kind of want to know what went wrong and how do I fix it so that it looks smooth.
You used the wrong product. You should never use on wood latex. It should have been oil based. That's why. And did you roll it or did you brush it?
I sprayed it.
Oh, you sprayed it?
Yep.
Yeah, it was. All I can tell you, man, is I wish you hadn't done that. Golly. You got to strip it off and repaint it again with oil based paint.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what else to do, because you can't sand latex. It's gummy.
Okay.
You know, you can try. Maybe it's a harder latex than the ones I'm used to, but you got to use an oil base on woodwork. It's the only thing, and you can put a little Floetrol in there to make it level itself out, and if you're going to use a sprayer, and give it that real hard finish look. But as far as latex paints, it should never be used on something like that.
That stinks. Well, what's the best way to strip it? Just get a rough sander and just take it down?
The problem with you can try a little piece of sandpaper in your hand and see if it sands.
Okay.
If it does, then an orbital sander would be the way to go, and try not to sand too much, because what happens is it gums up the sandpaper because it's a latex, it's a rubber.
Right.
And I don't know if that's going to work. I doubt it will, but you can try it depending on what paint you bought. But if not, you're going to have to use chemical strippers to get the majority of it off first.
Okay, using an oil base, is there obviously, I guess, a primer then that's going to need to go over?
You always use the primer. You always use the primer that goes with the paint. If it's a Pittsburgh paint, it's a Pittsburgh primer, and it's meant for exactly those two to go together.
Okay.
You don't use a different brand primer ever. Don't buy Kills or anything like that. That's even gummier. That even makes more of a mess. So always make sure your primer matches the paint.
All right. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and it's with paints, you got to be really careful. If you can just follow the rule on the inside of the house, any kind of woodwork, and that's doors, baseboards, anything like that, it's always oil-based paint. And don't work it too much. Just get it on there, and it'll level itself off. If it's not leveling too well, you can put a little leveling juice in there, some Floetrol or some of the other products. You can talk to the people at the paint store about that and mix it in, and that'll help level it, but that's the best way to go, especially with a sprayer too. But when you get latex on woodwork, it's not the best way to go by any means, so see if you can stay away from that. The only time you want to avoid oil-based paints is the outside of the home, because it's got vegetable oils in there. It'll turn black because it tends to mold up, because there's a vegetable oil that it's like a food, and mold likes it, so it gets into it. But on the inside of the home, you don't have that issue. But latex is meant really for sheetrock painting, that kind of thing, and doing some other stuffs too, but you know, vinyl siding paint, things like that. But as far as putting it on woodwork and the inside, try to stay away from it so you can get that nice hard finish that you want, especially with cabinets and things of that nature. All right, Custom Gutters is the company you call when you need a new gutter system put on your home, because they have gutter machines that the other people don't have. The 7-inch gutter machine. It's quite, and they'll show you, Jimmy will show you the difference between the two. It looks fantastic. It comes out, he has about 100 colors you can choose from. When they roll it out, it's just one long piece that goes up there, so you have no seams. They hang it nicely, so it holds on nice and tight. They use the brackets behind there. The gutter leaf guard system, not a leaf guard, I can't use that because it's a different one, but it's the leaf system that keeps the leaves out of the gutters. It goes up under the shingle. Mine came out real nice. It is like a hard metal mesh because I have oak leaves. And so he was telling me one day, we got different ones we use for different situations. Pine needles are different because they tend to poke into those. They stick up. They look horrible. So they have a mesh for that one. And they've got a lot of different options. And they can fit on existing gutters too. So he can take care of it all. Jimmy has been in the gutter business for 1 million years. Yes, he has. I'll just leave it at 1 million. Custom Gutters with a K. To find out more about what they do and see the video about the 7-inch gutter and everything they do, then you can go to homeshowradio.com and visit our website, because it doesn't cost anything. Homeshowradio.com.
Now, back to Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
281-496-5711. Let's talk to Juan. Juan, you're on Home Show Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A quick question. I'm trying to mount my TV above my fireplace. I'm assuming I'll just need a masonry drill bit. Would you recommend that that's something that it's fairly easy to do myself, or should I go with somebody that's been doing that for a while?
Well, it's kind of a loaded question, Juan. I don't know what your skill set is. If your skill set and you feel comfortable doing it, then sure, you can do it. Anybody can do anything. So I'm not going to discourage anybody from it. Do you feel comfortable doing it, or do you feel uncomfortable doing it?
I think I would feel comfortable. I mean, it's just
sure.
The thing that is.
Yeah, if you're going to drill into brick, is the fireplace front brick?
It is.
Okay, well, then you're definitely going to use a masonry bit to drill into the brick. And depending on the type of anchors and how heavy it is, I'm not sure. Today's flat screen TVs are incredibly light compared to the ones 20 years ago which weighed 1 million pounds. So they're a lot easier today, I will tell you that. And if you have the hanging hardware and it goes up nice, then it shouldn't be too difficult.
Okay. Would you put anything in the pilot holes? Inside?
Yes. You can't just screw into it. What do you... you're going to use some kind of anchor. How heavy is the TV? Is it light TV?
It is very light.
Yeah, that's good. So, yeah, you could probably use lead anchors is probably what I would use.
It
would be a lead anchor or an expandable sleeve, depending on the weight. But I don't think with a light TV you need to go with expandable sleeves. I'd probably go with just the lead anchors and just bolt it into that brick if it's a good quality brick.
Okay.
Now, if it's a brick that has holes in it, be careful with that.
Right,
like the Acme bricks, right? Because then they tend to be weak. You have to hit areas where you can get a full purchase with that anchor.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. But today's TVs are so light. I had one. It was one of the original Philips flat screens with the backlighting and everything. It was so heavy. I was hanging a set of Longhorns above it one time. And I knocked the TV, and it came down on me and knocked me and the ladder down. It was so heavy. And that was the end of the TV. The whole screen shattered. It cost me, I think at the time, $5,000. And that it started out around $12,000, and they would show pictures of people hanging it above their head. You know, I'm thinking, man, if that thing ever came down on those people in bed. Above their beds, you know, they could lay there. I don't know who's going to lay there and look up unless you just have a medical reason you have to do that. But it was a sales gimmick that they were using on the television to sell them and get it. They sell televisions on TV. Yeah, why not? But today I bought the same size TV in RCA once. I remember it was several years ago. And I got it delivered through Walmart. They just left it on the back door. The guy wrote a note saying, I didn't want to leave it on the front doorstep so somebody would steal it. I brought it in. It was light as a feather. I thought, wow, things have changed. Well, just like siding, too. We're going to get to you next, Billy. Hold on. Siding has changed because now with Hardy siding, you don't ever have to buy it more than once unless you're getting another home. But if you're residing your home or you're going to be building a home, it's a one purchase deal. You buy Hardy and it doesn't rot. It doesn't warp. It doesn't, termites and wood boring insects don't eat it. It's not a good food for anybody. It's made out of sand. Who eats sand? I don't know if even animals that eat sand. It's just, and Portland cement, that's gross. But it's just there, and it just looks good. All you have to do is put a paint on there to make it look even better. If it's put on right, it's there to stay. Now, if you run your truck into it or something, that's different. Then you're going to have to replace some pieces. But that would be a, you know, something beyond your control. Somebody did something they shouldn't have done. Or you got to watch out with the weed eaters. But weed eaters are the most destructive device on the face of the earth. They really are. It takes a little time, but they'll wear you down. So be careful with the weed eaters with anything around your home. I don't care if it's a stone. The weed eater will win over a period of time. It will start to etch it out, brick and everything else. So be careful with that. But besides that, it's pretty much a one-shot deal with Hardy siding. But make sure you get someone good to put it on. If you're residing your home, you know you're going to use the Hardy. You've done your research. You've gone to our website and gone to their website to look at all the specifications and different styles and things. Then find a certified Home Show Pro and an elite preferred installer. And then you do that by going to homeshowhardypros.com. That's homeshowhardypros.com.
Now back to Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
We'll continue on with the calls now. Let's talk to Billy. Billy, you're on Home Show Radio. Hello, Billy.
What does a gable vent look like?
It is a triangle, a slotted vent that looks like a louver that goes in the top portion of the gable, which is a triangular end of a gable roof.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Say one of the words I couldn't understand. I got triangular.
Okay, it's a triangular louvered vent.
What's a roof? You said
a louver is like a louver door. It has little slats so air can go in.
Okay.
And it's a big triangle that goes up into the triangle section of a gable roof, which is, you know, a ridge with two rafters going two different directions.
If I have that on my roof, should I take it off?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. Now, we had a call earlier where a gentleman took them off and he wanted to know if he should put them back on. I told him no, there was a different reason. But no, if they're there, they're fine. You see them on homes built in the late 60s, early 70s. They were quite prominently used back then, but it's not necessary today. You don't see them used much anymore.
And one more. How do we know that radiant spray is used when someone comes in to spray and not a cheap substitute?
Well, first off, you got to deal with a decent company, and the best thing you can do is look at the can. If you really suspect something's wrong, look at the label on the can and watch them open it. When you open a new 5-gallon bucket of radiant barrier paint, you got to use a knife to open it up. So it's not something you can hide once that bucket has been broken open on the top. So if it was really something that bothered you and you didn't trust the people, then that's the best way to do it. I can't imagine anybody just using. Unless you're really dealing with some strange people that would use some other kind of paint, because it just wouldn't make a lot of sense.
Is it more expensive than others?
It's not more expensive than good quality paint, but it's an expensive paint, yes. I mean, you can buy some real cheap paint and put it in a bucket and say you're using it. There's no doubt somebody could do that. They could do that with any kind of paint. But if you're really suspect, and if you're really concerned, then be there when they open the 5-gallon bucket. And to do that, to open a 5-gallon bucket of coating, you have to use, I use a box cutter, and you have to cut the slots on that top all the way around. Once those slots are cut, then, you know, that means it's open fresh. It's like opening up a milk or anything else. You know when you get it from the store if somebody's been in it, because they have all these protective tops on there. The paint?
Yes.
It just looks like paint. It's kind of a grayish brown. They're a little different. It's like a non-color, and when you put it on, you're not looking for a color. You'll still see the grains and stuff come through. It's just a coating. If you put a little bit on your finger and you look in the light, you'll see these little square flecks of metal in it. It'll kind of like glitter in the paint when you look it up in the light when it dries.
Well, we see that on the... on the attic underside?
You will see it. I guess you could take a flashlight. I never have to see if there's those little glitters in there, but you sound like you're a little concerned about who you're getting to do this.
Well, it's already done, and I always wondered about it.
Oh, I don't know. I guess you could actually take your finger and rub it on there and see if you see a little glitter on there and see what happens. I've never really done it. I'll probably go home now that you mentioned it, and when I get to Houston next weekend, I'll probably go up in the attic and rub my finger on there to see what it does, because nobody's ever asked me this, but I'm curious.
Okay, yes. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Billy. Oh, goodness. You guys come up with stuff. You challenge me. Like, I got to do this now. Okay. Larry, Leff, you guys hang on a minute. We'll get right to you. Due West Foundation Repair has been mentioned several times today for different reasons, but one is appearing being home. That seems to be causing problems, and they don't know why. If you have a foundation issue, whether it's a pier and beam home or a slab, they have the UltraPile system when it comes to slabs. They'll explain more about that to you. I don't have time for this 1 minute I got to spend with you because I want to hit on something else. What I want to hit on is this. It doesn't cost you anything to have them come out and take a look. They're not going to hard sell you. If you feel like you're being get a hard sell, then let me know. That's not the kind of way they do business. They're a really nice family that, hey, if you want them, you need them, that's fine. A good example is Charlie had a neighbor. Charlie's the owner of Mosier Media, who takes care of all the media production for this show. And he said, Tom, I went to a neighbor's house. They had a little party. And they were talking about how he had 5 foundation repair companies out, and one of them wasn't Due West, and they were all confused with all the different things they're getting. And he said, why don't you listen to Tom? Why don't you call Due West? He goes, I actually do listen to Tom. He said, why didn't you call Due West? And the guy said, I don't know. But he called Due West. After doing all that other research, getting all that confusion, they called Due West. And Due West just came out and said, listen, here's your problem. You want us to fix it? We'll fix it. Here's your problem. Guess who got the job? Due West. Not because they weren't more expensive. They were in line with everybody else. It's just their presentation was, hey, this is what your problem is, and we can fix it, and we'll guarantee it. And the guy was like, why didn't I call Due West to begin with? I don't know. Maybe sometimes you have to learn the hard way. Or the other thing is, a lot of you think, oh, well, it's on Tom's show. He's going to be double the price. That is baloney. You guys are fooling yourselves, or you're hearing some really, you'll hear from other people telling you that because they don't want you to call my certified home show pros. But they're in business with everybody else. They're all competitive. If you get a good company and it's competitively priced, these companies stay in business because they're a good company and they're competitively priced. Are they the only ones in town on my certified list? No, but they're the exclusive ones. I can rest assured that you're going to get good service with them, so that's why they're there. Like Due West Foundation Repair, the original, the one that started on this show with me in 19... Well, I started in 87. They started in 1988. My first true certified home show pro. And they're here with us today in 2021. Due West Foundation Repair. Give them a call at 713-473-7156.
Now back to Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
This is, excuse me. You know, when you get old, everybody makes fun of old people when they talk. When you get old, you get this sinus issue in the morning. And you start to hack and cough a lot. I don't know. I didn't invent it. My father had it. The other day, my wife said, I think your dad's in the house. I keep hearing this. Like I was doing it. I'm starting to sound like him. I can't help it. It's called post-nasal drip. I know I hear a lot of people on the news making fun of people who shouldn't be in office because they're too old to believe. I agree. But and that goes with a whole bunch of them, not just one. There's way too many old people out there. I'm getting to be one of them. At least I know my limitations now. Radio is one thing. Running the largest country in the world, we need someone a little quicker. But as far as that goes, and that goes with everything. I mean, it's just, I accept it as I move on in life. But yeah, you got to put up with it sometimes. I don't know what else to tell you, but I'm okay. I feel great. It's just post-nasal drip. Let's talk to Larry. Larry, you're on Home Show Radio.
Thank you for taking my call, Tom.
Yes, sir.
I really enjoy your show. I've been listening for a long time.
Thank you.
And I really enjoy listening to you. A lot of great tips and a lot of good advice and a lot of good companies, too. Absolute Comfort Air is one of those that I used before. So they've done a great job for me. But my question is this, Tom. We got a 12-year-old house, live in a cul-de-sac, and we got one of those oak trees in our yard. Mm-hmm. So I'm struggling with whether or not to take it down, put some root barriers in it. What do you think?
How close is it to your house?
I'm estimating about 10 feet. I don't have much room.
Is it a live oak?
I'm not sure which. It's a live oak, yes. My wife says it's a live oak.
Okay, live oak. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little story about Tom Tynan. I had a live oak in front of my house. It's about 8 feet away. And I had a live oak out in the, and I'm on a cul-de-sac. You and I live in the same life, Larry. And I had another live oak, and they started to compete. And I went and took the one out in the yard down. Now the one that's next to my house, I can't put my arm around it. And it is going to cost me thousands of dollars to take it out now. And I eventually am going to have to, because I have to protect the house. It's just the bottom line. I don't care how old the tree is. I can always plant another tree back to where the old one was. I wish I had taken it out in the early stages, and I would tell you right now, if it's a live oak, that thing's going to get huge. Take it out now before it overcomes. 10 feet to your house is too close. A root barrier is not going to save you from the damage that a live oak will do, and a live oak will always win the battle if you try to save it because it's too close to your property. You'll be having to cut that thing back, and someday it's going to be so weird looking that you wish you had taken it out, and I'm just going to save you that hassle now and say right now, take it out while it's smaller.
Okay, then. Thank you.
You can plant another one. Trees are like corn, you know? People say, you take a tree, it's the end of the world. No, you plant another one. You just plant it farther away.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
You're very welcome. I'm glad I saved you from my personal tragedy. That oak is going to win, I'm telling you. It is so big now that it's nothing but lumber under there. And it took my sprinkler system and wrapped the pipes apart to where I spent 3 months trying to redo that sprinkler system because you couldn't dig in the ground, right? And it cost me, I had water bills of $300 to $400 a month for 3 months because of that oak tree. I go out there sometimes and I stare it down. And it stares me down. I'm saying, you know, your time's coming. But that means I'm going to have to redo the entire side of that yard. Everything. They're going to have to grind and grind and grind. And we just stare each other down like, one of these days, I'm going to do it. It's going to cost me, when and if I do this, it depends how long I live and who wins this one, that the tree will eventually win if I don't take it down. It's going to cost me right now, I did a little price on it, $10,000 to get rid of it and re-landscape that area. A minimum of $10,000, depending on redoing my sprinkler system on that side of the front yard. And with a cul-de-sac like Larry's talking about, for those of you who never lived on one, your front yards are usually pretty small. And then the backyards get really big. I got a huge backyard. And so you live on these triangles. So the front yard is easy. You want it easy to maintain, a little bit of grass to mow. Nobody gives you homeowner association letters because it's a beautiful thing on the cul-de-sac. And, of course, people aren't driving around down there too. But, yep, I'm living that nightmare. And I don't want you, my listeners, to live it. I made a wrong decision. And that decision was made 18 years ago, and I never saw this coming. It's raised out of the ground probably 4 feet. The whole flower bed and everything just keeps raising and raising. It's an amazing thing to watch. It's just affecting the house. And I don't have a brand new house. I got an old house that I like, and we're comfortable in it. So I don't live in some big mansion and want to spend that kind of money, but I'll have to. And I will when the time comes. Time will be within the next 5 years. Just so you know, if I'm here in 5 years, I'll be telling you all about it and whining and crying in my beer. All right, one of the people that can help you out, create a beautiful place, and they've done it for us. And that's why one of the reasons we're staying in our home. I would say this right now, that one of the reasons, the big reasons we're staying in our home is because when the kids left, I talked about them earlier, I got a 33-year-old, a 30-year-old, and a 29-year-old. My 30-year-old's about to be 31. They're out, and they have their homes, they have their jobs, they're taking care of themselves, they're very successful. Hopefully they're mentally competent, and they're happy. They seem to be when I talk to them. They know I'm always here if they need me, but I don't bother my children. I let them live their own lives, and they're doing a great job, by the way. But we went and remodeled the home for ourselves. We put in bathrooms. She had my wife has her own beautiful, huge, custom-made bathroom just for her. I've got mine just for me. It's smaller, but I don't want a big one. She did. The kitchen, everything has been remodeled for the way we like it, just the two of us in the house. I didn't, the kids' room, I brought the boys in the room. I didn't save their room. I didn't save the little beds and their little choo-choo train blankets. I put a radio studio in there. That's my house now. They have their own houses now. Trifection is the one that did it all for us. Trifection can do it for you too. Now, you think they're real expensive and it's only giant projects? Our projects were one piece at a time. We didn't spend it all at one time. We did a bathroom here, a bathroom there, as we saved up money. If you have a shower that's leaking, you got to redo the whole shower. You've got a, just one bathroom, a small bath for a guest, you know, just a half bath. They'll come in and remodel the whole thing. You can do it one piece at a time, or you can do the whole house. It's up to you. And some people think they're the most expensive. No, but they are the best. They're very good at what they do. You'll be impressed. And you know what? Once you use them once, you tend to use them again and again. It's like Rudy's Quality Painting. You're so pleased with the work, you just keep making projects because you want them back to keep continuing the remodel job. Trifection. Give them a call at 281-KITCHEN.
Why gamble on your home improvement projects? Play it smart. Go with the experts Tom trusts. Select professionals who've qualified to be a certified Home Show Pro.
Cherry Company, recycling concrete to make Houston a greener place every day. Absolute Comfort Air Conditioning and Heating, indoor comfort pros year-round. Door Clearance Center, any door, any size. If it hangs on a hinge, you'll find it for less at the Door Clearance Center.
Find Tom's directory of trusted Home Show pros anytime for any project at homeshowradio.com. Now, more Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
All right, let's get the last call in for the show today, and then we'll land this airplane. Let's talk to Lef. Lef, you are on Home Show Radio.
Tom, how are you, brother?
I am doing fine, sir.
Hey, Tom, I've got a little problem that I've noticed lately. When I flush my commode in my master bathroom, right before it fills up and cuts off, it sounds like somebody's playing a tuba in there.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you might know what was causing that.
I do, and it's like a foghorn sound. I know what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not an issue as far as some kind of dangerous thing. What that the filler valve inside your toilet probably needs to be replaced. You know how you have the valve with the little ball that goes up and down, or the canister that. It's not closing nice and clean. It's got calcium deposits and stuff in there. So as it just starts to close, the water starts to resonate. The pipe starts to resonate because it's just open just a little bit to make a little screaming noise or a little noise. And then eventually it'll close all the way and stop. So that's all it needs is a new valve. You can monkey with it a little bit and see if you can, you know, move the thing up and down and see if you can loosen the calcium. Most of the time you don't. You just replace that plastic filler valve.
I think I'll just replace it.
I would. I think it's just time. But it does tell you. It doesn't let you sleep when it starts to fill back up.
You're right. Okay, yes. Brother. Well, thank you very much, Tom.
You're welcome. No problem. A common question I get, and it can scare the heck out of people. So, you know, when I kind of joke and say, you know, your house talks to you. Like your garage door, when it makes all that grinding noise and stuff, you know, things talk to you. My oldest boy, who became the do-it-yourselfer like me, my son Jimmy, he's rebuilding a Dodge Charger now in his garage. My father passed away a year and a half ago, and his prize Model A Ford, I gave it to my son Jimmy because he likes to do that stuff. He's putting a solar water heater in his new home he just bought. He just moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's in the pipeline industry. He's an inspector, and they do inspections and surveys and things like this. So he's doing very well. He's in the right business. It took a while for him to find his way, but. It is awesome how you see people just, you know, start doing these things. But I always told them as a child, I said, listen to that noise like we're driving a car, and I'll hear a little tire noise. I say, you hear that tire noise? He goes, yeah. I said, the car's talking to me. That tire's low on air. He goes, how do you know that? I said, listen to things. It talks to you. And you know what he does now? He says, Dad, it was talking to me. I heard it, and I looked at it, and you were right, whatever the case may be. He goes, and it was talking to me the whole time. Your house will talk to you when it has problems. It might be a visual communication. It might be a sound communication. But if you really look at something, like you open a cabinet door and you hear a little clunk, just a little something like that, and you hit this little spot, look at the screws. The screws are probably coming loose. It's telling you. If you stay on top of these things, they will not overtake you and overwhelm you and put you in a bad position. But it is true if you stay aware of things. What happens is we walk around with our face in a cell phone. We don't stay aware of things, what's going around us, going on around us, I should say. If you know what's going on around you, whether it's home improvements, whether you're a soldier in battle, it doesn't matter what the case may be, whether you're you know, whatever you're doing, you're on a tractor doing your work, you stay aware, and you do that with your home too, and you'll be amazed in life how much easier it'll be instead of just turning your mind off and becoming numb to the world around you. It's a shame that people do that, because the world's pretty fascinating place when you just look and listen and then take it in, as opposed to having your mind constantly occupied by, well, the cell phones, whatever you do on your phone. I mean, videos and everything else. I'm constantly with my students and even with my faculty sometimes saying, you guys can put that away or I'm going to fire you. I'm going to throw you out of here. I do not need a numb brain walking around in a welding shop. Somebody's going to get hurt. So I have those talks with people constantly. All right, we're going to go ahead and end this thing, but I want you to think about this. When people try to sell you things, when you hear stuff on the radio, just on my show too, I want you to think about what I'm saying. When you hear stuff on television and people are giving you a sales pitch, look past how great they make it sound. Now, there are water systems out there, water filter systems that are saying, we just put it on your house and you can go to any tap, you can go anywhere, and you'll have the purest water you can get. It's not true. Think about it. You put it on the intake of a house. How many feet of pipe do you have in your home? And what kind of pipe do you have? How many of you ever looked in a piece of old copper pipe, a piece of old galvanized pipe? Even if you cut a pipe open from, or you cut a water heater open, and you look at what's inside a water heater tank, it is disgusting. And if I took a foot long piece of copper and gave it to you and said, use it as a straw with everything you drink, and you look in there, you can stick your finger in there and you get this residue coming off all over your skin, it turns kind of black purple, and you go, no, I'm not going to use that as a straw. Well, then what good is a filter down line going to do? It filters it at that point, but then by the time it gets to your sink, it's all contaminated again. So I want you to think about what people are telling you. What you need is a filter that's going to be right at the point of use. Now, this is one of many examples I can use, but I'm using this one right now. And the people at Aquatex have the K5 drinking water station. It goes right under the kitchen sink. You have this brand new plastic tubing that feeds into a tank, which is a clean holding tank. And then it goes up to a spigot on your sink. And it goes right there. That's all it is. It travels probably less than 3 feet. 4 feet tops. And if it goes around to the ice maker, true, it goes around the ice maker too. But it's clean and it's at the point of use, just about exactly right there. You don't have 40-year-old pipe it's going back through recontaminating. You don't have a water heater it's going back into getting disgustingly contaminated. You don't have that. With that other filter, it just doesn't work past its point. That's why I want you to call my friends at Aquatex. If you're going to put in a water conditioning system, look at this, a water conditioning system, a water softener, as y'all know it. This one washes itself in softened water. The other ones don't do that. So it washes itself in clean conditioned water. It makes a better system. It uses a lot less salt. It's just not dumping it in there because it measures the water through gears. It's an amazing process. Aquatex, give them a call at 281-331-7777. Be careful what you're hearing out there. Question everything. Use your mind. Critically think, is it really going to work? And I'm telling you, those systems will not work. You're still drinking contaminated water.
Thanks for making Home Show Radio Houston's trusted source for home improvement tips and advice. Tom Tynan's opinions are his own and do not necessarily reflect those of Sports Radio 610, sponsors, or Mojer Media. Remember, Tom is always on at homeshowradio.com. Questions and answers, tips and videos, our podcast too, all free, all for you at homeshowradio.com.